fear the storm. My help is on the way. My help is on the way.
Stand up and worship.
Heaven thundered, and the world was born. Life begins and ends, and the dust you pour. Mountains move. Fear is losing ground to a hope in you. Yeah. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. chains undone. Sin defeated, Jesus is overcome. Mercy triumphed when the third day dawned. Darkness was denied and the storm was gone. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Things in your name, they shall be done. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done.
I feel like I'm watching from the outside. Sometimes I feel like I'm breathing, but am I alive? I won't keep searching for answers that I need to find. All I know is I'm not home yet. This is not where I world and give me Jesus. This is not where I belong. So when the walls come falling down on me, and when I'm lost in the current of a raging sea, I have this blessed assurance holding me. All I know is I'm not home yet. This is not where I belong. Take this world and give me Jesus. This is not where I belong. This is not where I belong. Take this world and give me Jesus. This is not where I belong. All I know is I'm not home yet. This is not where I belong. Take this world and give me Jesus. This is not where I
Jesus, worthy is the love.
So God, as we now move to this time where we celebrate the ultimate gift that you gave for us, that who are we that the Son of God gave his life for us? So God, as we celebrate that in communion today, we ask that your Holy Spirit be upon us and that you meet us here wherever we are, God, whether we feel really far away from you or whether we feel really close, wherever we're somewhere along that spectrum. God, we pray that you will be more real to us, that we will hear your voice and we'll give you praise in Christ's mighty name. And everybody says, amen. I'm going to ask that you be seated right where you are, everyone. We are reminded on the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he sat down at a Seder meal at the time, and he took the bread at the time that was part of that meal, and once he took it, he gave thanks to God, blessed it, and broke it, and he began to give that to his disciples and said, take and eat from this. This is my body which is broken for you. Take this and eat this in remembrance of me. Likewise, during the Seder meal, there are plenty of cups in the meal, but we're told that after the supper was over, there's another cup, and he began to, once again, he took this cup, he gave thanks to God. Once again, he blessed it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, take and drink from this, all of you. This is my blood shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. I can imagine what the disciples' opinion was on that night. Here is a Seder meal that was honoring God's provision in Egypt for the Israelites, and they were thanking him for that. Little did they know that he and Jesus took what God had done, and then he did something new with it. And that's what God wants to do with each of us. He wants to take something that's already here, already going in our lives, that faith that we have, and he wants to make it new. And so what he told us here is that he said, yeah, I know you're thankful for what God did with Moses. And a lot of times we get caught about in the past of what God has done. But one of the things in the Seder meal is it tells us to recognize what God has done, what he is doing, and what he will do. So often we get caught about what he has done, what he will do, that we forget to see that God is actually working in the midst. And when we don't see things, we'll talk a little bit about that today when we talk about the life of Elijah. And so as we come to God today, we're going to ask ourselves, God, who are we to be for you? What are you doing in my life right now? Where, even though I can't see it, where can I trust and be active with you? Because Jesus, there are some, quote, rules here, and here they are. They have nothing to do with a denomination, because we aren't one. It has nothing to do with what I say or who I am. It has everything to do with this is the table of the Lord. And what it has to do with, the fact is, who is Jesus to you? Who is he in your life? For some people, you may not know, and that's okay. One of the founders of Methodism, John Wesley, said that, hey, that this can be a converting sacrament, that you may actually come to contact with the presence of God through this. Do you have stuff in your life that you missed the mark? That's what sin means. We all have stuff. If you're wondering the answer to that question, I'm going to give you the answer. It's a really easy test. Yes, you do. Okay, we all have that. We all have things that we don't connect with God with, that God wants us to do something and we miss the mark. That's called sin. We all do that, every single one of us. And so, and then are there people in our lives that we don't mesh well with, that we just don't have peace with? And, you know, a lot of times we say that. I think so many times in communion we think about, okay, who's Christ for us? Where's my sin? And we forget about this last one. We forget about the fact that there are people in our lives that we don't mesh with. And I want to tell you something. If you don't connect and if you have ill will feelings, God can't move the way he needs to. It's that simple. God cannot move when we put our stuff ahead of him. I said one time, and I really truly believe this, that no matter what I've done, no matter what people have ever done to me, it fails in comparison to what I've done to Christ. Fails in comparison to what other people have done for them. Because it was my sin and everything that I did that caused him to be nailed to a cross. Had nothing to do with him and everything to do with me. And yet in that moment, what did he say? He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do.
and he forgave us and gave his life for us. And so that is the key to communion. So I'm going to ask that the worship team come up and that the servers come up. I'm going to serve them first. Bow with me for a prayer. Lord God, I ask that this be for us, the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world, the body of Christ, redeemed and set apart by his precious blood. Lord, make us one in your Holy Spirit, one with each other into ministry to all the world as we look forward to feasting at that heavenly banquet table. All honor and glory is yours, Father Almighty. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Listen. Body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you. Body of our Lord broken and given for you. Body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ broken and given for you. The body of Christ is broken and given for you. The body of Christ is broken and given for you. The body of Christ is broken and given for each of you. Amen. The body of Christ broken for you, Bill. The body of Christ broken for you. The body of Christ is broken for you. The body of Christ, Jim, broken for you. The body of Christ broken and given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. And for many for the forgiveness of sins. The blood of Christ poured out for you. And for many for the forgiveness of sins. Blood of Christ shed for you, Michelle, and for you, Rig, for the forgiveness of sins. Blood of our Lord poured out for you, and shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. The blood of Christ poured out for you, Hope, and for you, Bob. Blood of Christ shed for you. Blood of Christ, Bill, poured out for you and for many. The blood of Christ shed and poured out for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Blood of Christ shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. The blood of Christ shed for you. Just one final thing. Again, don't use this as a time to communicate with each other. We're going to have plenty of time for that. I'll give you time right after this, as a matter of fact. Use this as a time just to focus on you and God. Those three things. Who is he? What in my life needs to be removed that's not in contact? And then just start lifting up. Who are those people in my life I need to get right with? Or at least to tear down the walls that I need so that God can move. And go ahead and just let God work in you. Go ahead and use that as time to focus on him. As you come, we also have a basket for offering. I'm here to tell you, if you're visiting today, we do not expect you to give it all. You are a guest, and we are glad that you're here. And we just want you to bask in the presence of God. The Lord has blessed us in spite of us. And so we're thankful for that. So we just expect you to come and just connect to Jesus in the midst of this. We're going to sing some worship songs, and we're going to worship him. And that's what this is. Don't think we just stop in worship. This is a time where we can actually draw closer to the Lord in this whole entire process. So what we're going to do is we will have the ushers will lead you from the back on this side down this way, back on this side down this way, and the back on that side down that way, and you'll go around. If someone needs, we recognize there are allergies and all kinds of things. If you need some gluten-free, it's on this side, and if you're over here, feel free to walk on over. That's more than acceptable. But we just want you to connect to Jesus in an amazing way and just worship him and just sing to him, just hear him, and find out what he has for you, okay? The table of the Lord, please come.
Amazing love,
it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do.
Thank you, Lord, as people who have received your communion and have, in this great mystery that your presence meets us here through your Holy Spirit, God, we thank you and we praise you that we will never, ever forget that there is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. He gave an amazing, amazing love by giving his life for us. And God, therefore, everything else in life should fall into place because we have a Father who loves us, who sent us his Son and didn't leave us alone, that the Holy Spirit is here working through us. And God, we will trust and lean on you. And for that, we give you praise in Christ's name. And everybody says, amen. At this time, our children will leave for Haven's Kids. And everyone else, just say hello to one another.
So Elijah went and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, plowing a field. There were 12 teams of oxen in the field, and Elisha was plowing with the 12th team. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak across his shoulders and then walked away.
A couple of prayer requests to lift up today. One is from Robin, it's a couple from Robin Hildebrand. For her sister Jean healing from surgery, and Leah Hildebrand, the death of her mother, which is Robin's mother-in-law. Ron Frederick and his sisters continuing with the grief from the loss of her son. We do have a joy Jill has for Natalie's birthday, 16th birthday on Tuesday. So we want to thank God for those and many other things, all right? So, yeah. See if you're saying that when she's driving. No, just joking. Good job. So Natalie's good. All right. So we're, if you had a prayer request, by all means, please fill that out. If you fill it out by the end of the day, they'll check by the end of the service. Or if you're online, go ahead and fill that out online. We'll make sure that it gets to our prayer team and so that we can go ahead and connect everyone in that. Let's pray right now. Lord God, we come to you once again today. Thank you for all that you do for us. And God, there's so much that we, if we spoke from now to the end of time, we would never have enough time to do so. And so God, right now, we want to lift up the prayer concerns that we do have for those who are in healing process, for those who are experiencing loss and death, for those who may be experiencing some kind of surgery, some kind of other focus there. God, whatever it may be, we ask that you just minister your healing. You be the great physician to each of them. And so, God, we know that you know the needs of all of us. We just thank you for your presence, even though sometimes God, we don't see it, we don't experience it, we just can't find it in the midst of everything else in life. We know that you are very present and that you are a good God. And for that, we give you praise. For birthdays that we can celebrate and joke with and blow out candles, and for those anniversaries and all the other joys of celebrations that we may have, God, we just give you thanks. And we ask that whatever you have to speak to us this day, that you'll do it clearly, that we will be attentive and listening to God. I just know that there's several other people here that are dealing with things, whatever it may be in life, that God, you'll just minister your healing to them and just speak your words. And for that, we give you praise in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Welcome, everybody. Welcome any visitors with us today. We're glad that you're here. We want to go ahead and say welcome to Church Online. Everybody give a big welcome to Church Online. Tell them I'll see you here next week. Okay, if not, no. But we're glad that you're here. I love Church Online. Love that you're here. Again, if you're visiting, we are just thrilled that you're here. We want you to just relax and connect to what God has for you. Several things that are going on that we see right now in the midst of our ministry. We have a lot of different things going on. We have some small group training that's going on. We have youth group. One of the things that's been ongoing, as we see that constantly, it seems like there's a lot of loss. We've been having grief share on Monday nights, and if you would like to know more about that, please go ahead and do so. And we also have information about if you need a Stephen minister, more one-on-one care, we have that available to you as well. Again, Parish Foundation is a week from today. That's right. Valentine's Day will be here and gone by the time we're done. Be ready to pay lots of money for chocolates and flowers. That's overpriced. Hallelujah. All right. And then you have information about a women's conference. So if you want to register for that, you can see the information about that as well. And then also part of the host team training. So we have a lot of different trainings because we love for you to connect and be part of ministries and do life together. And then today after church, for those who are planning to go on the Haiti trip, there's a brief, just kind of update on some things that are there. And so they'll meet right in this area right after church. And so we'd love for you to connect with that. And we've been able to talk to many of our brothers and sisters down there who are doing really, really well. And it seems like at least the political stuff is kind of not changed, but it's been a little bit level right now, as so we want to continue to pray for each of those people as well. All right. Okay. We have been in a series called Running with the Big Dogs. I did a series like this 2 years ago, and guess what? Big dogs are those ones that you see, and you're like, man, you're the ones who got it together. And so there are a lot of big dogs of faith, people that we can learn from. And several years ago, we learned from several of them, and so this year, we've been learning from others as well. The last 2 weeks, we went ahead and we talked about Samson and Esther. And what are we you saying? What are you talking about? Well, in Hebrews chapter 11, that is a book in the New Testament, the writer of Hebrews talks about these people that we call, that's been nicknamed the Hall of Fame of Faith. And we all know what a Hall of Fame is, right? Hall of Fame is where you put the best of the best in those areas, whether it be baseball or football or what have you. They're the best of the best, and that through their career, they deserve to stand out above all the others. And so it goes to a long list of people during this. By faith, Abraham did this. By faith, Sarah did this. By faith. And they go through different people. And then chapter 12 picks right up here. And chapter 12 says this: therefore,
Everybody, what is therefore? Therefore? There you go. Good. I gave it to your answer. All right. I'm giving you the answers today. It's not hard. All right. So whenever you see therefore, you got to find out what it's there for. So it's building upon the hall of faith and say that these people fought a fight, did a fight. And I shared with you that each of these people were not great throughout their whole life. It's how they finished. They finished strong. And it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, that means there are people that are there. I get a view of a stadium. Right, like a stadium. And some of us, anybody watch the Super Bowl? Anybody watch that? And you saw people just yelling and cheering, and it was a good Super Bowl, right? Pretty good Super Bowl. And people are, yeah, you know, and when people yell, they do what? Ready, one, two, three, yell. That was lame. But anyway, when people yell, you can't hear what they're saying. There's something about crowd noise, you know? Whether it was when I was wrestling in high school, I know I'll leave you with that image of me in a singlet, and we'll get past there. But when it was wrestling in high school, whether it was playing baseball or playing football, that you could hear occasionally that person, okay, come on, Jack. But when you had a lot of people that were, it was really big, and you were close to a pin, and they were like, yeah! People were screaming, and you couldn't hear those one singular voices. And you can imagine, if we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, many of the ones who are in the hall of faith and so many others, that they're cheering us on and say, come on, you can do it. You can make it. And they're cheering for you. So we need to throw off everything that hinders us, is what they say. The sin that so easily entangles. And why do we do that? And let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. You see, we are all have a race that we need to run, that God has given us to run. And a lot of times we get discouraged in that race. And so what if we could, you know, because the crowd noise is good and it pumps us up, but we can't hear specific natures. So what if, and this is the whole premise of this series, what if one of those people came out of the stands, came down on the track and ran a lap around with us and just told us, hey, here's what I want to share with you from my life that I've learned and I want to tell you. And they're just taking a lap around with us. Here we go. We're taking a lap. What if they did that? What would happen? And so over the last couple weeks, we pulled Samson out and Samson made a lap around with us. And right before he gets back in the stands, he's like, oh, but let me tell you how to keep on going. And so we listened to that. Last week, we talked about Esther and about how she was a nobody who God made into somebody very very powerfully. And so today we're going to talk about someone named Elisha, and we'll get into him in a second. But since I decided that, since you guys reacted so well to my joke last week, I'm going to go ahead and give you a dog joke every week, all right? So here we go. There was a sign in an office window, and it said this: help wanted, must type 70 words a minute, must be computer literate, must be bilingual, an equal opportunity employer. Well, a dog was strolling down the road that day, and he looked up in the window, and he saw the sign, and he thought for a moment, okay, let me take a look at that. So he pulled it down with his mouth, he walked into the manager's office, and he made it very clear he wanted a job, kind of like Lassie thing, like, okay, right? He did that kind of thing. The office manager laughed, and he said, I can't hire a dog for this job. The dog took its paw and pointed to the line, equal opportunity employer. So the manager said, okay, take this letter and type it. And the dog went off to the computer and went, and a minute later, at his little paws, he had printed a perfectly formatted and typed letter. The manager said, all right, then write a computer program for this and run it. Well, wouldn't you know, 15 minutes later, the dog, after typing away, came back with a perfect computer program, boom, and the correct answer. But the manager still wasn't convinced. He looked at the other thing. He said, I still can't hire you. You must be bilingual. To that, the dog went, meow. All right, there you go. All right, you like that one better. I got it. Okay. Okay, so here we go. This is a good series because, number one, the benefits are that we get into the Bible. Okay, we get into the Bible, and I don't know about you, but, you know, I was raised in the church from the moment I think I was born, and one of the coolest memories I have is some of the memories from the Bible stories in Sunday school. Like remembering like all the old great you know, the great, like, it seemed like Sunday school we saved for Old Testament, but church was all New Testament, right? You remember that? Like, we always gave all those stories, and we sanitized them for us, but we liked the hero stories, but when we got to church, we just only had to talk about Jesus. So, which is awesome talking about Jesus, but he wants us to talk about the other guys, too. So, again, it's cool that way, because we can learn about the Bible, but the other thing is, this is probably one of the most encouraging series, I think, that I've ever done, is that it gives us encouragement to head forward. So today we're going to talk about a guy named Elisha. Everybody say Elisha. Elisha. Not Elijah or Elijah, whatever it is, okay? Elijah was a great person. Elijah with a J. He was like somebody, whenever they talk about the prophets, they talk about him. They talk about him so much. He's so great, he never had to die. That a chariot of fire whisked him around. I guess that was what they call the hot seat. I don't know. But a chariot of fire came zipping down, and he got on and whisked him away. He was one of two that we know in the scripture. He was great, and he did many things. He did 14 miracles that are recorded in the Bible. In the New Testament, he's actually present in the New Testament. When Jesus is on the mountaintop, the transfiguration, which means he metamorphosized in front of his disciples, the big three, four. Sorry, I can't count. And so in that process, he transfigured in front of them, and there were two people there. One was Moses, one was Elijah. We're going to talk about Moses in a couple weeks. And so Elijah's there. In the New Testament, in Revelation, they talk about two witnesses, and many biblical scholars believe that those two witnesses at the end, that they're going to look, that when people rebel and kill them and they rise up, many people believe that that's Moses and Elijah. Again, so when you're Elijah with a J, everybody kind of knows a little bit about him. Matter of fact, during the Seder meal, in the Jewish faith, they leave a seat in case Elijah wants to stop by. All right, so that's the important guy. Now, Elisha is a little bit different. Elisha is a little bit different because he, for most of his life, is in obscurity. And I think we can relate to him a lot better than we can Elijah, who took on the prophets of Baal and Ahab and Jezebel and all these, and was this major figure. Elisha, I think we can relate to a little bit more because he's just kind of plodding through life before God gets hold of him. What's amazing is that this guy who is not Elijah, the one that we look up here, actually does double the miracles that Elijah does. He does 28. And he didn't have great beginnings, and most of his life he probably spent wondering this question, and it's this question here. Does his life count? Does it really matter? Does his life count at all? And so most of his story consists of a word that many of us don't like. It's a word that starts with a W called waiting. He's just waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. He spent most of his life behind oxen. We're told that he had a lot of oxen. That's what he did, and he had a plow right there. Let me show you what this would look like right here. Here you go. I got two slides. You see that? That's what he spent his life doing. Now, I want to tell you something. I'm going to give you a better picture of what he had to look at every day. Ready? There. He had to look at that. How many of you would like to that be your view from your office every day, not to mention the smell that went along with it, right? The sights and smells. It's not a lovely job, and he's somebody signing up for it. That's what he did every day, day in and day out, day in and day out. That's what he had. He had the view and the smell that went with it. And so here we have, you know, we're going to look at this, that he probably never saw what God wanted to do in his life. He was probably just wondering, if his life ever counted. And so most of us probably have had times, or right there right now, that we wonder if our life matters at all. Here we are, just foot on the plow, holding it, looking at oxen rear every single day of our lives. So what do we do when we wonder if our life counts? We learn from Elisha this, and I think this is what he would say to me when he first comes out of the stand and say to you. He said, if you wonder if your life counts, give your best wherever God puts you. Give your best wherever God puts you. Why would he say something like that? Because what we're going to learn from the life of Elisha is when you do this, God is watching you in those things, and he wants to see how you respond and handle it. You see, I think any one of these big dogs would tell us this, that in order to fully get to that point of wondering if our life counts, we need to understand a little bit about God. We need to, in order to understand God, to get with God, we got to understand. And one of the main things that every single person would tell you is that God is always watching with the, what we would say, the smaller things in order to go ahead and do the bigger things. So I'm going to share with you three areas in Elisha's life that will help us be able to give our best wherever God puts us. Okay, so let's begin. And if you have your blanks, you can connect and go along with that as well. And we'll be glad to get hear what God has for us today. Okay, so three areas. The first thing that I think, as we're coming in that first turn, that Elisha would tell us is simply this: give wherever you are, give your best in obscurity, and God will reward it. When you think of obscurity, you think of that you're unnoticed. A couple weeks ago, we talked a little bit about David and how David was in such obscurity that when they came to anoint a king, they went ahead and his own father forgot that was him in the field. He was off in obscurity. Yet God saw that. Elisha is no different. Here you have Elijah. And Elijah is this powerful prophet that many, many people knew about that I said. And here's the first time they met. And it says this: so Elijah went and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, plowing a field. There were 12 teams of oxen in the field, and Elisha was plowing with the 12th team. Here's what I want to tell you. People did not have 12 teams of oxen unless they were wealthy. So here you have an obscure, wealthy farmer guy plowing along. He's with a 12th team. That means there's 11 others. So there, he's just going ahead in obscurity. He's like one of the other 11 rolling along. And here comes Elijah, this main prophet guy. Elijah went over to him, look at what it says here, and threw his cloak across his shoulder and then walked away. What's going on here? So here is Elisha. He's plowing away, plowing away, plowing away, plowing away, plowing away, just like every day. His mind's wandering. He's going all over the place. Then, all of a sudden, this main prophet shows up. He looks around. He says, okay, there he is. He takes off his coat, throws it on him, and then leaves. What? Basically, this throwing the cloak over was pretty much, hey, I want you to follow me. I want you to go ahead and work for me. It was kind of like an employment offer, often with money not very good. But that's what it was. You would go ahead and follow me. Here you go. Go ahead and do this. Here's the problem. We see that he threw it on his shoulders, but then he walked away for 10 years. So here you have Elisha plowing away, plowing away, plowing away, and then has his coat put on him. He says, he might say, whoa, thank God I don't have to look at this anymore. And Elijah's like, no, I'll be back. 10 years later. Would that frustrate you? If he didn't have to wait already, he has to wait some more. 10 more years. And so nothing happens. I'm sure he had dreams and had hopes and had things that he wanted to happen. But God often sees us in what we feel is obscurity. God is watching us in those times. And it's no different in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 6, it says this. And Jesus said this: your Father who sees what is done in what? We got to do that better. Sees what is done in?
Secret.
Will reward you. What is done in secret. And then he gives three things that are done in secret. He says, number one, pray. Like, for instance, there was a problem at the time of Jesus, and there may be with ours, where people want to pray and be like, oh, I'm praying now, here we go, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, magnificent Father that you are. Look at me, I'm praying. Matter of fact, I've been on a plane in Israel where many of the Orthodox Jews will bounce around during their prayer and look around. Like, see me? Look at me praying. And so they may do that. The next thing he said is fast. When you fast, don't let anyone know you're fasting, doing it, you're not supposed to go, what's with you? I'm fasting for God. Oh, yes, I'm being holy and fasting for God. Right? And your cheeks are all sunken in and you want people to ask you those things. No, that's not. And the other thing is, like, giving. He didn't say, like, you, here comes the offering plate and you go, vroom, vroom, slam dunk, look at that, bam. What'd you give? bam, I'm going to do it again, right? No, that's not what he said. He said, when you do those things, you pray, you fast, you do those in secret. It's not about anybody else seeing it. It's about your Father seeing it. And he rewards what is done in secret. And see, Elisha thought, wow, I'm not recognized. And then all of a sudden, bam, Elijah hits him. He goes, yay. And then 10 more years, he said, huh? But God saw him all through that time. Because God told Elijah to go to Elisha. And he waited and he went back. And Elisha is second in the Bible only to Jesus Christ himself in miracles. This guy who was in obscurity looking at the rear end of oxen became second only to Christ in recorded miracles. So what would Elisha say? He would say this. Give your best in the small things and God will give you bigger things to do. See, God cares about the details in life and the small things in life. You know, I, as a young pastor and as a young person, I just wanted to go with 90-some percent of Jesus and no preparation, right? I always said, oh, the Holy Spirit's got it. You know, Holy Spirit's got it. I'll just figure it out. And yeah, sometimes the Holy Spirit does. When you're in a moment where you don't have anything, the Holy Spirit will work. But what I also recognize is sometimes, a lot of times, God is a God of order, and God likes things prepared at least, okay? And so, like, this church service, we don't just get up in the morning and we go to Wayne. What are we doing today? He didn't, I don't know. Let me just scroll through and boom, that's good. We don't go ahead and say, hey, you know, what are we playing? Who's singing what? We don't do that. I don't say, what should I preach on today? I don't know. Scroll, boom, there we go. And I have before, but what I'm saying is God works in the midst of his people in many different ways when the details are taken care of. And sometimes we lose specific details and we can actually, you know, throw the whole thing off. It's like the story about a weary evangelist who went door to door and he went to another door and it was a time when he had every single door slammed in his face. He got to this one house and he knocked on the door and sure enough, an older woman answered and angrily immediately said, just leave, go. And she figured out who he was, and she slammed the door. However, the door bounced back open again, and the woman shouted, get your foot out of the door. But ma'am, the evangelist started to say, he said, wait a second, it's not, and she said, I said, get your foot out of the door. She slammed it again. It bounced back open. And he said, but ma'am, and she cut him off again. I said, get your foot out of the door. She slammed it all the harder and all the harder. He said, ma'am, you'll be able to close your door if you'll just move your cat. Didn't like that one as much, I guess, yeah. Sometimes we're so blinded by our predicament and what we don't see and what we want to see that we forget that the cat's in the door. We don't see the cat in the door, and we slam, and it ain't hurting us, but we're looking at this, but meanwhile the cat's going, meow, right? And there we have that. So many times we don't pay attention to the smaller details in life, and things get lost. Look at what Elisha did. It said, so Elisha, this is after Elijah's come back. 10 years have gone, and here he is. It says, so Elisha returned to his oxen. He slaughtered them. And he used the wood from the plow to build a fire to roast their flesh. And then he went with Elijah as his assistant. Stop again. Remember how many oxen I said he had? Team of oxen? 12, okay? So that's basically 24 oxen, all right? And he had 12 plows for that. He was wealthy. What did he do? He took all them, broke them all apart, made a fire, gave it as an offering to the Lord. And guess what? Guess what he was saying there? I am not going back. It's kind of like the whole Cortez story about burning the ships when they were concerned and it was either, many of them were talking about, let's go back. And they had to fight this group that was coming at them and there was this big thing. And what he said was burn the ships. Because when you burn those ships, you can't go back. None of them were that good of swimmers. And so they had to go ahead and burn the ships. Sometimes in our life when God calls us, we need to burn the ships. The other thing to keep in mind is he went from a wealthy, yeah, it was boring, yeah, it was not the job that we all want, but he went to become what? Elijah's assistant. So much so that one scripture actually tells us that he would pour the water on the hands of Elijah. You know what he did? He gave up all this stuff, burned all that stuff, so he could wash Elijah's hands. After 10 years, his job, first of all, is to wash the prophet's hands. Doesn't sound like a great trade-in, does it? It was the lowest of low tasks. But see, what God does, God cares for the little things. I heard a pastor one time say, God cares about the condition of your floorboard in your car. Somebody's getting really nervous right now, okay? In other words, it's those things that God just cares about those things. There are so many times that, a lot of times where you go and do something, and God does something different. I remember years ago when I graduated college, I was working. I had decided that if I was going to do this preacher thing, I was going to do it on my time, my schedule. And I remember I started going to a Bible study at the church that we were at. It was a young adult Bible study at this house, this lady named Ellie's house. And I remember going there, and I just went in, had my Bible, was going to sit in, let it go. I was going to check my time card off and be like, okay, I got my Jesus on for this night. I'm going to go back out and do this. And we'd sit there, and all of a sudden, Ellie would say, Jack, what do you think? And I'd say, oh, I agree with them. Just to move on, okay? I'd do that. And then she'd say, no, Jack, tell me what you think about this verse. And so I'd start to talk a little bit more. I know that's hard for you to believe that I would talk a little bit more. And I just started to share, and people started to share. And she'd say, Jack, then I go to church on Sunday. And I'd roll in, sometimes late, sometimes other times I'd be there early. But I'd sit there, and after church, I was ready to get out and go and do my thing. And there was Ellie going, Jack. I'm like, what? She come here, come here. She say, you need to pray for this person. I'm like, no, you need to pray for that person. No, you need to pray for this person. Come on, Jack. And she just ignored me, and she put me there. And before you know it, here's what she did to me. Before she knew it, I went to the Bible study. She goes, okay, Jack's going to lead this Bible study. I'm like, I am? And then she say, then I want to, you know, like when you see somebody you don't want to see in like the grocery store and you dart around the aisles. That's what I was trying to do in church, because she was going to say, come here, pray. Every week, I think she just went and found people on the street and said, Jack's going to pray for you. And they're like, who's Jack? And she goes, don't worry about it. And she just went ahead and did it. And she did that. And then she started calling me Preacher Jack. And I was like, excuse me? That's that guy. That's Preacher Cohen. That's him. And so she kept doing this. But I can tell you what I signed in to be as just one of the things. It took somebody who saw something in me that threw a cloak over that God told them to do that brought me to the place where I am today. It was because of that. And so we need to see that. I wanted to live in obscurity and go ahead and even frustrated in obscurity. I was working for a retirement community that had a churchy name in it. I was good. I was doing the church thing. But God had a different plan for my life, and he wasn't going to let me leave that plan. Even though I thought I was in obscurity, God saw what I was doing in the small things. Look at what it says in Luke chapter 16. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with very much. In other words, what we got to see, if you want more of God, then you got to do the awesome things with the small stuff that God's given to you. If you know, and some of the things that we think are small are huge. Like I just mentioned today, if it wasn't for some of those Sunday school teachers who had to put up with my nonsense as a little kid in second grade, then I would not have had the stories that approached to me dealt with me in life. It wasn't for the youth leaders that dealt with a bunch of hormone-ridden teenagers running around and all that stuff and connected and gave their time and effort, then I wouldn't be the place where I am. I wouldn't have connected to God the way that it is. That those who thought, my gosh, why am I doing this? For the people who clean the churches, for the people who do sound, for the people who do all kinds of things, those things that we think are little are major things. Sometimes our greeters on the outside may say, man, it's cold. What am I doing out here? I'm not doing much. But I can tell you it means a lot when that's a first impression. We've had people that have fallen before, and guess who's there? Boom, right away. They're right there. So something that we think is little, God sees, and when we do what's awesome with something little, God will give us much more to go ahead and deal with. The next thing that Elisha will tell us, he say, do your best in obscurity, do your best with the small things, and the next thing would be, give your best in the natural, and God will do the supernatural. Do your best in the natural, and God will do the supernatural. Elisha had no idea what God was doing, but we fast forward 10 years. There wasn't one miracle that was done. In 2 Kings 2, 9, so you saw where he met him for the first time. You saw where he came back. Now you're going to see where he gets ready to take off. And here's what happens here. When you got Elisha and Elijah, he's getting ready to go in this chariot of fire. It says, when they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Like our basic prayers. We come to God, we say, God, God is great, God is good. God bless our food. Thank you. Amen. Okay. All right. past the lips, past the gums, all that kind of stuff, right? We do all that stuff. Thank you, God. Bless us. We just keep us healthy. We get those kind of things, right? Good prayers. Nice prayers. But look at what Elisha says here. He says, he goes for it. He goes for it big. At this point, Elijah had done 14 miracles that we know of. And here's what Elisha says. Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit. In other words, he throws it all on the table and says, okay, I want it all, plus. Look at what Elijah's response is. You have asked a difficult thing. Yet if you see me when I'm taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will be not. And then it finishes this, and here's the cool thing. God answered the prayer. God answered the prayer. I'm wondering if many of us have been too safe with our prayers. That we haven't asked God for the big stuff. We haven't just thrown it caution to the wind. Have you stopped, ask yourself this, have you stopped asking God for big things? Have you been content with just asking God for the tiny, teeny things, the things that are safe in life? Have you asked God? I think sometimes we really maybe even insult God by asking him just for the small things. That we need to have big time prayers. Here's the thing. You can ask God for the biggest thing, and here's the worst thing. He might say no. But guess what? It's always no if we don't ask. In John chapter 14, look at what it says here. Whoever believes in me, Jesus says, will do the works I have been doing. Stop. Did Jesus do some amazing things? He says, guess what? If you believe in me, you will do those things. And we say, wow, that's a lot. Oh, wait. And even what? Greater than this. Because I'm going to the Father. And how do we do that? How do we get to do those things? Here's what we do. You ask. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Notice that the key to prayer, the key to getting big things accomplished for God, is that we take care of the small things in obscurity, and we live them out. And then when we get to a point that we have enough guts, that we're like Elisha, we say, okay, that God is saying, and maybe saying to you right now, what do you want me to do for you? Like you may be in a depression, you may be in a bankruptcy, you may be in whatever, and you say, okay, God, here's what I'm going to do. I want you to, bam, and throw it up there. And the worst thing God's going to say is what? No. But guess what? If he says yes, fasten your seatbelts and have your tray tables up in an upright locked position because it's going to be an awesome ride. You know what I'm saying? And you should be a lot more excited about the fact that God did this and does greater things. Jesus said it. Elisha lived it. God did it. And he wants to do that and more things. Elisha was in obscurity. And yet, he went ahead and asked for something major in the midst of this. So as Elisha is going around, he's getting ready to go up into the stands. Getting ready to crawl up. He says, hold on, let me tell you a couple other things. As he's getting closer to walk up the stands, he says, don't give up on your dreams, but here's how you keep your dream alive. Learn how to get and stay close to God. Learn how to get and stay close to God. Because when we're close to God, he'll speak to you. God will speak. Think about this. Up to this point of the previous verse, Elisha had done zero miracles. Zero. After he asked God for that double portion, he did 28, which is exactly double of what Elijah did. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool how Scripture keeps that cool? And God says, all right, you want double? I'm going to give you 28 miracles. God will speak to you. And there's this great story that's here where the king of Israel, the king of Judah, and the king of Edom are getting ready to fight the king of Moab. And it's a great battle. They're doing some really good stuff right off. They're taking them to task, except for something happens, and they run out of water. And many of you know you can't go with like 3 days without water. And I mean, they had nothing at all. So they got together, and people began to ask, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? How are we going to do this? I don't know how we're going to do this. So somebody says, is there anybody who can in this whole land who hears from God? And they're like, wait. There's that one guy, that Elisha guy. Elijah's gone, but that one guy, Elisha, let's get him. So they bring Elisha in, and that's one thing to know, that even when things get really, really bad, people will look for people who can hear from God. And so what happens is, so they go ahead, and they go to Elisha. They go to him, and it's one of my favorite stories ever because it tells so much about him and it tells so much about God. And they say, Elisha, here's the deal. We've been fighting this battle. We're fighting, and we've been doing well, but here's the problem. We have no water, and people are dying. Our cattle and our horses, everything's dying because there's no water here. So we need water. We need you to speak to God for it. Can you help us? And here's Elisha's remark. Ready? Here he goes. Now bring me a harpist. I find that very humorous. They're asking for water. It's like if you went up to McDonald's and you said, can I have a Coke? And they said, can you play In a Gata Da Vida? Right? You'd be like, what? I'm still thirsty here. You see, they're dying of thirst. And he says, I need some worship music. Excuse me. Wayne, can you start to play? Hey, Justin, get on. Give me a beat. There we go. Keith, roll that bass. Let's hear it. Okay. Becky, sing something for me. There we go. Michelle, kick it in. Hallelujah. Yeah, there we go. I'm thirsty. He says, turn on the radio. Isn't that odd? But you see, he knew something that was very important, because while they said, all right, they go and they grab the worship leader, starts to play, and when that happened, look at what it says. The hand of the Lord came upon Elisha. You see, Elisha knew, hey, I can do whatever I need to for this water. I can beg and plead, but unless I'm in the presence and close to God, nothing's going to happen. And how did he get close to God? In worship. He started to worship the Lord. He set everything aside. There are people dying. There are people needing this. He didn't know where he was going to have to get water from, but he knew that God would provide. And he said, I'm just going to worship him in the midst of it. And guess what? If I dry up like a sponge here and die, all right, it's all, God's going to take care of it. And so many of us, we say, well, how can we hear God? I'm going to tell you, God speaks in your dreams and your passions. And many of us have lost them because they seem so big to us, and we forgot to ask God or stopped asking God for the big things in life. God will speak to us in our dreams. And I believe what Elisha would tell us is dreams are birthed in God's presence. Don't stop being in God's presence. Get close to him, the closest that you can. In the New Testament, they found that same thing. Look at this. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized, they looked at them, they saw the outside, that they were unschooled, ordinary men. That's what they saw on the face value. But they were astonished, and they took note that the thing that set them apart was simply that they had been what? That they had been with Jesus. You see, Elisha did not know how to get water, but he had been with God. He spent time with God. When we spend time with our Lord, God can do great things. Every great dream of faith comes from being in God's presence. This church came from me in a very difficult time where I needed some water somewhere. And I remember I just went on a beach in Lewis, Delaware, and sat me and God. It was cold, and it was just me and God and my Bible, and I just needed to hear something clear. And sometimes I still didn't hear it, which leads me to this next point. At Elisha, he's stepping up in that second row, and he says, oh, hey, one more thing. At some point, you got to wake up and do something. You can't just have the dream and hear it, but you got to do something. We can't just sit there, because our faith comes alive when we do something. Faith and action are always there. Look at what it says in 2 Kings 3:16. Remember, he's asked for worship music. The Spirit of God comes upon them, and here's his answer. This is what the Lord says. Get a shovel and start digging some ditches. Tons of them. Start digging. Go ahead. Go dig. Go ahead. Get a shovel and start digging. But isn't this consistent with God? Moses built an ark when people didn't even see rain, many people believe. And they ridiculed him. He says, go dig some ditches. It's like, for what? You see, there wasn't a cloud in the sky. The Hebrew Weather Channel didn't tell them that it was going to rain. They didn't have a clue about any of that kind of stuff. There was no sign, no cloud, no anything. But what we find in the scripture is that dreams must go from inspiration to participation. You got to do something. So they just had people and they started digging ditches. And James tells us this. Why do we have to be connected? Because faith itself is not accompanied, that is not accompanied by action. Here we go, this verse from James. Faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, it's what? Dead. If you want your faith alive, if you've been plodding along and say this faith thing is just, blah, maybe it's because you need to grab a shovel and start digging a ditch. Maybe it's because you got to do something in your faith. We all say, I'm just waiting on God. Well, guess what? God's waiting for you. God's waiting for you. Get up, grab a shovel, start digging a ditch. And people say, what in the world are they doing that for? Because I ask God for something. I'm digging. But there's no rain. That's all right. I'm digging. All right? And so what began to happen? God's blessing on your life cannot be held on a table. If God poured out his blessing, it's going to roll off the table. You got to dig a ditch in your life to be able to receive what God is going to give to you and not worry about how he's going to do it. And our third point is going to be this as we wrap this up today. I'm not going to give you the third point first. I'm going to give you the verse, scripture, because I know you'll fill it in and you'll just keep wrapping up. I want you to hear the full thing. I know how you are. You'll be like, start the car. I'll get the kids. Let's roll. Okay? And here we go. All right. So here we go. 2 Kings 3:17. They're digging these ditches. They don't see a cloud. And it says, for this is what the Lord says. You will neither see wind nor rain, yet this valley will be filled with water. How many times in our lives do we feel God's leading us to do something and we don't see it? We're like, I'm doing it, but I don't see it. I don't see it, God. I don't feel it. I don't experience it. And a lot of times, what do we want to do when we don't see it? We want to put that shovel down and say, I give up. Do you realize how long it took for Noah to build the ark? It wasn't like a few days. It wasn't even like a few years. It was a long, long, more than most of our lives. You think there's days he's like, what in the heck am I doing? But you see, he had been close to God. And he never gave up on the vision that God had. You think when the water started to rise with Noah, that other people wished they'd helped him out with the boat? You're darn right. He says, yet this valley will be filled with water, and you and your cattle and other animals will drink. This valley will be filled. And then he says this. Oh, but by the way, this is an easy thing for God. Isn't it funny that Elisha asked Elijah for a double portion, and Elijah said what? That's a difficult thing. But then, and you know why it's a difficult thing? Because God needed somebody who was going to stay close to him, who was going to hear him, apart from all the other voices in life, and be committed to him regardless of anything. And so he's basically saying it's a difficult thing for you to be able to do and for you to be able to be open with. When Elisha did it, God blessed it, and now Elisha comes to the point of, oh, this drought thing, dig some ditches, play some music, dig some ditches, it's a party, God's going to fill these suckers with water. I don't see a cloud. Don't care. God's going to do it. That is an awesome place to be in life. And what'd he do? What would Elisha say to us this? He would say, don't base your life on the seen, but the unseen. Don't base your life on the seen, but the unseen. You see, some of you have heard this story. I'm going to give a little quick part, and I know the worship team's going to come up now and lead us. I'm calling on my harpists to come up so we can hear from God. When I felt God called me to start the church, which is like 12, 13 years ago, that's crazy. I had a group that was loving people and met with them, and they promised the world. They promised a budget that made that leaping from one secure denomination financially to another. And I saw that and I thought, okay, God, that works good. And I took that step. It was an easier step of faith when you see numbers, right? Until you see the numbers. And so what I saw was going to be a cloud and water falling from the skies continually changed in that first month. After I had already burned the ox cart and the plow and killed a lot of the oxen, trust me, the oxen weren't ready for me to come back, all right? And I was in. And long story short, financially, there wasn't even enough to take care of my family. When they had promised maybe 10 times that amount. And I went, now what do I do? I was afraid. I felt like I had to grow a church with a gun to my head. A matter of fact, what I said was this. I said, what do I do, God? What's up now? And the response from them, I said, I thought we had agreed you had shared with me this. And they said, oh, well, we just figured you'd make it work out. And I said, thanks. I had a young family. Judah was a baby at the time. Melissa wasn't a nurse at the time. And so you're facing these things. There's no water. There's no water falling anywhere. So I grabbed a shovel and dug one ditch. And I said, here's what I'd like you to do. That stuff that's supposed to be all year, I'd like you to pour every single amount of it into that ditch. It lasts about 4 to 6 months. If after that time God does not keep it flowing, if he called me to do this, he'll call me somewhere else. You know how hard that is in life? You know how difficult it is to go ahead and not have control of the reins, particularly for somebody who always had the reins of the oxen? But you see, I cut up the oxen, I sacrificed them, and there was no turning back. And so I said, here we go. Have 5-6 months, maybe at the most. And before you know it, God blessed this church with people, blessed it with finances. When we moved in here, we made a choice to say, hey, we got, this is a 6 month thing. So we got 6 months and we'll be out of money. We said, all right, we'll see what God's doing. And we need this and this because we needed to see some things to see if God was going to continue. And guess what? I don't know that we have seen those things that we needed to see to this point, but we've seen other things that God did. We've seen rain and we've seen the ditches full, even if we didn't see a cloud in the sky. See, because it's about remaining close to God. It's about being close to him in your life. So you got a marriage and you say, I can't see it, it's falling apart. Everything's just going to hell in a handbasket. Dig a ditch. Ask God for the impossible. Dig a ditch. Don't think that God doesn't see where you are. Don't focus what is seen, but what is unseen. Because in the scripture in the New Testament, this is consistent, Old Testament, New Testament, look what it says here. So we fix our eyes. And I love that statement, fix your eyes. Because when you fix your eyes on something, it doesn't matter what's going on around you. Your eyes are focused. You ever just seen something and you go, you can't take your eyes off of it? So we fix our eyes. Not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is only temporary. But what is unseen is eternal. As a husband, as a pastor, as a father, as a professor. You know how many seen things that if I got myself focused on would have distracted me in life? Would have had me just say I can't do anything anymore. It is the unseen that God works in. It is not in the clouds and the rain, but it's in God. It's in when we have enough faith to dig a ditch and ask God to fill it up. So today I just want you to focus on one thing. I want you to say, God, where do you want me to start digging? Where do I start digging? Because there's a lot of valleys that a lot of us represent, and we need to start digging ditches and say, God, fill it up. I don't know how, but I'm going to trust you to do that. And so Elisha, as he's walking to that stand, will remind us once again, you don't think your life counts? You don't think your life counts? Give God your best in everything that you do. Find out how to get close to him. Wake up and do something and dig a ditch. And don't focus on what you see in your life and get distracted. Keep your eyes focused on him. Amen? All right, let's stand on up and let's just worship God one more time here today. And just worship and get in his presence. Just tell him, hey, God, here's where I need my ditch.
to me.
Sing it out to me. First, help me just to live it, Lord. And when I'm doing well, help me to never seek the crown, for my reward is giving glory to you. I wanna take your word and shine it all around, but first help me just is giving glory to you.
Everyone sing it again.
Oh Lord, you're beautiful. Oh Lord, beautiful.
Are on this child. Some of you have been Elisha. You're walking around thinking God could care less. You're just walking around saying, I'm as pure, he could give a care in the world. In the whole universe, God does not care about me. But as the scripture says, who am I that you are mindful of me? I'll tell you who you are. You're the one who he sent his son for. You're the one who he loves deeply. You're the one that his eyes are on you. The old song, his eyes are on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. No, if you didn't hear anything I said, that's fine. It's not about me. What it's about is that God loves you, and he sees you where you are. And he may have just wanted today to be a day where he's just putting his cloak around you to say, you're my chosen one. And there's going to come a time, yeah, there's some waiting, but there's going to come a time where you're going to dig some ditches. You're going to need some music to get close to me. And you're going to have to keep on digging when you're not going to see a cloud in the sky. He's beautiful. His eyes are on you. And his grace is going to abound more than ever before. We love you all. I want you to have a great week. And next week, we're going to talk about another big dog. We're pulling her out of the stands. Her name is Rahab. Figure that one out. All right, talk to you next week. God bless.